This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, we get lost. Can't find our way sometimes in this world. Can be very confusing. We know that you are the way, the truth, the life. Show us that way, that truth, that life. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. It was the summer of 2004, and I was on a road trip for 2 weeks with my mom in Wisconsin. And I was really looking forward to this trip. We flew up, and then we rented a car, and we drove around. She and my father had planned it about a year before. They were both 80 at the time. And they had made these plans to go and visit where they grew up, where they went to school, where they worked, where they met, where they fell in love, where they got married, where they built a house, where they began to raise a family. And they were going to go all over Wisconsin visiting relatives and friends. And then that May, my father died unexpectedly. Just a week-long illness, and he was gone. Well, my mother, being my mother, said, well, I'm going to go anyway. And it was in August, so she had a few months, but she was still grieving. And she said, I'm going to go anyway, and I'm going to go by myself if I have to. And so we all talked, all the siblings, and we said, you know, she can't go by herself. And I was working at the school at the time, and I had some time in the summer. I said, well, somebody's got to go, so I guess I'll have to be the one. We all really wanted to go. So we had this amazing time, and there was one time that we were just glorifying and what a great time we were having and realizing it, and that went on and on like that until we got lost one night. And we got really lost one night. We had this rental car. I was driving it. And we had been staying with our cousin for 2 nights, and one afternoon we drove out to visit a close family friend about an hour away from my cousin's house, and it was way out in the country, in the Wisconsin countryside, and it was a horse farm, and we had an incredible experience and a beautiful meal, and about an hour after dark, we got in the car to head back home, an hour back to where we were staying, and so we get in the car, and I noticed how dark it was. I mean, it was really dark. You know, we're used to all the lights around here. And so we drove, and I must have taken several wrong turns. I thought I was going the right way. And then we realized we were lost, so we turned around and tried to go back and retrace our way, and that just got us more lost. So we were going down the road, and there were no signs. Now, remember, this is 2004. This is just 13 years ago. No cell phones, no GPS. We had maps and we had a little flashlight, and it was dark. When we did see one of the road signs, it told us the street number of this little country road. It didn't say north or south. But we knew we were on that road, but we couldn't tell what direction we were going in. And then we see this big sign that we were entering a national forest, but it had several different roads, and we didn't know which one we were going in. And then it said, beware of animals entering the roadway. So it was really scary. My mom wasn't so scared. I was. But I'm driving, trying to keep up a good, you know. And all of a sudden, she sees this glorious, almost full moon rising on my left. So we knew it rises in the east. We knew we were headed south. And we were oriented once again. Deep breath. It was my mom that pointed to the moon. And as I remember this story, this Mother's Day weekend, it is a wonderful, wonderful memory. And I was realizing, in remembering this story, she was my GPS. For most of my life, if I felt that I had lost my way, she was the one that I would usually go to. And now that I'm older, and in fact, now that I think of it, lots of people went to her for counsel. Many of you sitting here knew her and did the same thing. My friends would even go and talk to her. They'd tell her stuff they wouldn't even tell me. And now that I'm older, I realize that she was so grounded because her way shower was God. Her way shower was Jesus. And just like that night when she pointed to that moon, she was pointing to God's glorious creation. So she was always pointing out the way. I just didn't know it. And she would talk about it too, but I just didn't quite get it. Now, I realize that there are many people who haven't had a wonderful relationship with their moms, or it's been difficult or non-existent. And I understand that. We're going to say a beautiful prayer at the end of the service from the front of your bulletins about that. It's important to realize that. I had a conversation with a young woman just this week who said that, you know, for her, other people had to fill that gap. And I'm sure that may be the same for some of you sitting here. There were other people who were mother figures for you or were constantly there or loving or providing guidance for you. She said that it was her grandmother that did that and continues to do that for her. But now her grandmother is in a assisted living facility and she's could die at any time now. And this young woman is getting scared. She said this was really her rock her whole life. And she felt scared. And that is exactly how the disciples felt on the night Jesus said these words. He had been telling them that he was going to leave, that he was going to die, that he was going to rise again on the third day, and somehow they missed that little last part. They just hadn't quite taken it in, and they were scared. They didn't want to have a whole new identity. They were just getting used to this. And so they were at the Last Supper. And Jesus had told them, just like you heard, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But we would be tempted to skip right over the very beginning of this gospel, and the very beginning of it, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. If you see me, you see God. You see the Father. And Philip didn't get it either. Show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. He says, Philip, come on. Do you not understand it yet? And it was very difficult for them to understand it. And so he begins what's called the farewell discourse. And this was a common thing that people did, especially in ancient times. The whole book of Deuteronomy is Moses' last farewell discourse to his people, reviewing his life and what he wanted for them. So it was common. And he was giving them direction in this goodbye talk. He'd been traveling with this particular group of people for probably 2 to 3 years, every single day. They knew each other intimately, and that is the audience for this particular farewell discourse around a dinner table. It was family talk, and they were needing that comfort. And when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me, he was not discounting all other religions, as we are so wont to say in this day and age, looking at it through our lens. He's not discounting 2/3 of the world's population, that if you're not Christian, you're not good enough. That isn't what this text is about. This text is about including everyone. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Room for everybody. And no matter what your religion, no matter what your background, this way of Jesus, Marcus Borg writes, and I quote, is a universal way known to millions who have never even heard of Jesus. That's pretty powerful, huh? In dying to old ways of life and rising to life anew in Christ, it's the way of binding up the brokenhearted, comforting all who mourn, bringing us to the mystery of things unseen, gladness even in tears, praise instead of a faint spirit. It's not about belonging to some exclusive club that you've got to be in or you're out. we misuse the text. Nobody's left out. We have to say yes and follow that way, that truth, that life, and all that he was, knowing truly that he was God incarnate and believing that his presence is working in and through us right now so that we can live it. We can profess it, but if we're not living it outside these doors, what good is it? There's a joke that speaks to this that I ran across. So this guy is going down a real busy road, and this woman, who's real stressed out, is tailgating behind him, you know, just like right on it. And she couldn't get around him, and it was real busy, and she's just going and going. And they come to an intersection. The light turns yellow, but he did the right thing. He stops. You know, a lot of us, myself included, I know, you push on the gas at the yellow and try to get through. But he didn't do that. So he stopped. She screeches on her brakes, barely misses running into him, starts yelling and screaming, drops her phone, drops the makeup she was putting on while she was driving, and just raising her voice and screaming out the window, arm out the window. And all of a sudden, she hears this tap on the roof, and she looks up into the face of a really serious policeman. And he says, "I was right behind you. I saw the whole thing happen. Please get out of the car." So she gets out of the car. He doesn't tell her why, but he arrests her, takes her to the police station, books her, puts her in the holding cell, and a couple hours later, he comes and gets her, takes her out, takes her to the front desk, to the booking agent, and the arresting officer was there, and he says, "Ma'am, I am just really sorry for the mix-up." He said, I made a mistake, and I'm sorry that I arrested you. He said, "I just saw the whole thing happen, and I saw how you were flipping the guy off and yelling and screaming all kinds of obscenities, and things were flying around in the car, and then I noticed on the back of the car you had this bumper sticker that said, 'Follow me to Sunday school,' and then another bumper sticker that said, 'What would Jesus do?' And then you had this 'Choose Life' license plate, and then you had one of those little silver fish on the trunk. I thought it was a stolen car." Yeah, we got to live it. We got to live it. Athanasius said, "God became human that we might become divine." My prayer this Mother's Day is that all of us will strive to do that. Amen.